Take your Bible and look at the book of John, chapter number 3. John, chapter number 3. Thank you. I like people excited. And I know the weather, I know some of you, but hey, you're here now. If you're stuck, we're stuck together. And so I started to tell you, we won't keep you very long. I started to tell you what Elizabeth Taylor told her last husband. I'll try not to keep you very long. That's awful. John chapter 3, look at about verse number 14. John 3, today is what they call Valentine's Day. And a lot of you probably celebrated that last night, and we did here with a Valentine banquet. And a lot of hard work went into that. A lot of the cooks and the things that went on. It was just really good. I don't know if anybody said anything to them about it, but I appreciate them. And all the hard work that went into that, and it was very, very good. But here in John chapter 3, look about verse number 14. And Moses, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for allowing us to be here. Lord, a good number of people here for the kind of weather it is outside. And so, Lord, I thank you for that, and we don't take that for granted. And so, Lord, I pray you'd bless our time together, everything that's said and done and sung and whatever. Lord, that we point people toward you and not lift up ourselves, but lift you up high, and your train would fill the temple. And I pray you do that today. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. If we were stripped of the whole Bible, if you didn't have any of the Bible whatsoever except the verse that we just read, John 3:16, there is enough gospel in John 3:16 to save the entire world. One of the greatest treasures of the Bible. It's been said by many. Martin Luther said this. He said, I love this text beyond measure. He said, this is the heart of the Bible. It is the gospel in a nutshell. John 3:16. Frederick Lehman put it this way. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty par bear down with care. God gave his Son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forever endure the saints and angels' song. 1 John chapter 3 over there says, Beloved, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. The love of God. The Bible says, For God so loved the world. They say this verse is so deep, the truth, and the greatest theologian could never reach the depth of what the mystery that is in that verse. And then there again, it's so shallow that the smallest child could understand John 3:16. John 3:16 has 25 words. In that particular text, there's 12 on one end, 12 on the other, and the word that's in the very center, you won't believe it, is S-O-N. Everything revolves around the Son. It's all about the Son. It's not about a denomination. It's not about a preacher. It's not about a church. It's not about where you go or your house or where you live. It's about one thing and one thing only, and that is the Son, the only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I read of a story one time of a rich man who had a mansion. He had paintings all over the place. And the butler there knew of this man, and this man had a son. And he never got out into public. Nobody hardly knew that this millionaire had this little boy. And this butler raised this boy as a child. And because the man was gone all of the time, and all of his expensive paintings all over the house. Well, when he died, they had an auction. And they had this auction, and everybody was there because everybody wanted a picture or a painting of some value. And they got around there, and everybody was gathered around. Multitudes of people was gathered around to auction off and to bid on all of these paintings. Well, the first item they showed was a beautiful picture of that man's son that nobody knew that he had. And nobody wanted to bid that. Everybody's looking at each other like, who is this? I mean, nobody knows who this is. Let's hurry up and get to the good stuff. And finally, the butler who was there raised his hand. He said, I'll give $5. We'll go in once, go in twice, sold to this man right here. He come and got the picture. He said, the auctioneer said, the auction is closed. No more bids will be taken. Everybody's like, what? There's all kinds of paintings here. And he read this on the, he said, this is the man that died. This is his plea. Whomever gets the Son gets everything. And the butler walked off with everything because he wanted the one and the most important thing, and that was the Son. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if you get the Son, you get everything. The greatest verse, and one of the greatest verses in the whole Bible. Here we see God's plan of salvation. In the creation, we see God's plan for creation. In the book of Exodus, you see the God's plan for legislation. But here in John 3:16, you see God's plan for salvation. So love the world. This world has love. They have enough love to fall into love, but not enough love to stay in love. Hallelujah. Have enough love to conceive a child, but not enough love to carry them to full term. Have enough love to clothe and feed children, but not enough love to save our children's souls. Amen. We've got enough love to surrender and send our kids off to battle and put them in a uniform, and I'm all for it 100%. But what's wrong with praying that our kids grow up to be preachers and missionaries and send them overseas so they can tell the gospel, for God so loved the world? My friend, that's what it's all about. D.L. Moody in England. D.L. Moody preached there in London, England. I've been to that church when I was there in England. And he had a visiting preacher, Henry Morehouse, and he came and preached. And he preached, and he's preached on John 3:16. And when he did, multitudes of people came and filled the altar and got saved. D.L. Moody said, would you come back tomorrow night and preach? He came back the next night and he preached. You know what he preached on? He preached on John 3:16. 5 nights straight, he preached on John 3:16. They said, do you not have anything else to preach on? And he said, I just want to tell you, for God so loved the world. He said, if you could climb the highest ladder and ask Gabriel, does God love the world? Gabriel would say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And kids bring me stuff all the time. This morning, I had a child bring me one of these. Hallelujah. Hershey Kisses. Hallelujah. Brought me one of these and said, this is yours. I said, hallelujah. And I've had, matter of fact, another kid, another child, brought me this this morning. Brought me this. And I stuck it in my Bible. Brought me this right here. Wrote that out. And there's me on the front up there. Got hair. Yeah. And back there, I should have brought it out, but in my office, I've got a drawer when these kids, they give me stuff, and I'll just stick it in my Bible like I did this one, and when I get back there, I'll clean my Bible out, and I'll stick it in that drawer, and I'll probably eat that. But anyway, I stuck it in the drawer, and then I got a big one back there. It's a birthday card. It's one of them big ones, you know, and all the kids signed it. Matter of fact, last year, I brought this. Still got it, Eric. Still got it right there. And look, Kara's right there. And then you got Garrison right there and Lennon. And all these kids and McKenzie, all these kids right here sent me this. And they said, they did this on a Wednesday night. And they said, thank you, Brother Jeremy. And they give it this, and I kept it. I look at them. Amen. I pray for them kids. Some of them need praying for them. There's Weston, Lord, he's praying for right there. If you knew his mom and daddy, my goodness. There's little Chloe there. And you say, what do you do? I just stick it in that drawer. And sometimes I'm in a hurry. I get done and people want to talk. People want to stop and talk about stuff. And that's fine. That's what you do. And sometimes I get back in my office. I just throw it in the drawer. I don't know if the Lord ever talks to you this way or not. He does me. He goes, hey, knucklehead. Now, see, he's never talked to you that way. So he ought to talk to some of you that way. And he said, you're not even going to read the card? You're just going to throw it in a drawer? And I'm going somewhere. And I say, Lord, I'm sorry. I get the card out. And every now and then I get in the car. Hey, I know you don't believe this, but sometimes you get down and out and you can't find a smile on your face at all. I go to that drawer. I start thumbing through this. And it won't be too long. You start feeling pretty good. And I look and I read that card. And I say, boy, that's good right there. And sometimes they can't spell, but that's good. That's fine. I didn't like spelling either. I said, Lord, that's just a card. I mean, what's the deal? He said, every Sunday, people come in church, and I sent them the greatest love letter that man could afford. And a lot of times we go home, throw it in the drawer. Boy, that hurt, didn't it? Hurt me. The greatest love letter that God ever wrote anybody. Now, I know you think your husband can really write a poem, and he can. I know what you think. And your wife, you know, then I understand all that. But I'm going to tell you, the greatest love letter that God, that you've ever seen in your whole life, is sitting in your lap this morning. Now, I just want to say something about the love of God. Number one, the cause of this great salvation. It says, for God so loved the world. That's the cause. It didn't start with anybody else but God. It didn't start with a man in a dress, and they call him Papa, and he ain't married, and you confess your sins to him. And it didn't start with that. It started with the Son. It started with God Almighty. For God. And that is the cause. If before Jesus Christ came in the world, nobody ever dreamed that any God would love them. For God. The size of God's love. It says, for God so loved the world. Somebody told me the biggest word in the Bible is Nebuchadnezzar. I said, oh no. The biggest word in the Bible is so loved. That's the biggest word in the Bible. The size of God's love. The span of God's love. Notice, he so loved the world. God loved you before the world ever was. He loved you and he knew you. And before you were ever conceived in your mother's womb, God had a plan of redemption. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You got the size of God's love. That's so loved. You got the span loved. You got the scope is the world. Boy, that's a big scope. The world. Hey, I can understand how God can love these little kids. I understand that real easily. I can understand how God can love these kids. But how God could love some of us. How God could love. I'm talking about how could God love someone that you're thinking about that has done some hideous things. But that Bible says, for God so loved the world. A love that passes over all of our understanding. That's the cause of this great salvation. Number two is the cost of this great salvation. The cost is that he gave. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, God sat on his throne and he did not have to leave his throne. He did not have to go anywhere to create this world in 6 days. And on the seventh day, he rested. Didn't have to do nothing. He didn't have to leave his throne to give the Ten Commandments. But, ladies and gentlemen, when he wanted to redeem mankind, he had to leave heaven, the right hand of God, and say, I will go down there and come down there in Bethlehem's manger and leave the abode of God and come to this world. I can make creation from here, but if I'm going to love them people, I got to go down there where they're at. If you ever get a hold of that and it ever gets in your lap, you'll turn your chair into a trampoline and start throwing songbooks up in the air. If it ever gets a hold of you, what God did just to save your soul. The cause of salvation, the cost of salvation. All through the Old Testament, all God ever got to smell was old rotten flesh of a dead animal. But at the cross, he was the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright and the morning star. And when God says that it is finished, God smelt the roses of Sharon and the lily of the valley. And God says it is done. Salvation is complete. Redemption is complete. The cost of salvation. It was a supreme cost. His only, for God so loved the world, that he gave. There's the cost. He gave what? His only begotten son. He didn't give the cattle on the thousand hills, which he owns. He didn't give gold from heaven's mansions. But when he gave heaven's best. And heaven's best was his only begotten son. Oh, yes. The cause and the cost. Rembrandt. Many of you follow some of his paintings. He had a painting of the three crosses on the hill there at Golgotha. And the three paintings, beautiful painting. But if you watch, he's got the three crosses there. And he's got several people gathered around. And over in the corner, very small, he's got Rembrandt's very own portrait over there in the corner of that picture of three crosses. And they asked him, said, you wasn't there. He said, oh, but I was. He said, I wasn't there physically, but he said, one day I realized that it was my sin that put Jesus on the cross. And he said, I'm there standing over there in the corner looking up at those crosses because it wasn't the Romans that crucified him. It was my sin that held him on the cross. So he put his picture there. You got the cause. You got the cost of salvation. And then you have the condition. There is a condition. Who can be saved? Well, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that who? Whosoever. So what you can do, I'm not telling you to change your Bible, but what I'm telling you to do, right out the outside, put you a circle around whosoever. And then draw your little circle out to the side where you can write, and then put your name right out there beside whosoever. You say, whosoever you are. Whosoever. It's not, ladies and gentlemen, it's not God died for this group. He didn't die for this group. He died for the whole wide world. Is everybody going to be saved? No, everybody's not going to be saved. Everybody's not going to accept. Everybody's not going to receive. But he did die for whosoever, and you can put your name right there. Heard of a story of a little girl who said, whosoever means you, me, and everybody else. I read another story about an old fella by the name of Mr. Klein. And Mr. Klein was hard of hearing, and he was outside. He was discouraged. He was defeated. And he was convinced that life was just not worth living because nobody cared for Mr. Klein. Mr. Klein, on a Sunday evening, was walking outside of the church there, out down the sidewalk, And all of a sudden, he heard the congregation singing to the top of their lungs. That's why you ought to sing. When we sing it, you ought to sing.
Amen.
You ought to sing. Sing loud, because somebody out there may need to hear it.
Right.
Mr. Klein, down depressed, walking by. He heard the congregation singing, "Saved by grace alone, this is my plea. Jesus died for all mankind, and Jesus died for me."
Right.
Mr. Klein heard that as he was walking by, and his ear perked up. And he walked in the church, sat out on the back. He heard the song go over and over again. As he heard that song, over and over again. Then he stayed for the message. He came, stepped out, came down to the altar, and gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ. The preacher said, "Hey, Mr. Klein, what made you come on in?" He said, "Well, I heard y'all singing." And he said, "What I heard y'all singing was, 'Saved by grace alone, this is my plea. Jesus died for old man Klein.'" And he said, "I thought life was worth living. I thought nobody cared for me. And y'all was out there singing about me." You'd be surprised how the Lord works. And they were singing. He come in, got saved. Hey, that is the person involved in this condition. Then you got the plan that's involved. Whosoever, what? Believes in him. Now, S.M. Lockridge put it this way. You don't have to be a Baptist. Just believe. You don't have to join a church. Just believe. You don't have to speak a foreign language. Just believe. You don't have to pay your dues. Just believe. You don't have to be a saint. Just believe. You want to be saved? Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not but one way to heaven, and that is him. If you want to go to hell, believe anything else. Say, "Preacher, that's what people do. If you want to go to heaven, believe Jesus Christ. If you want to go to hell, believe anything else. Anything else will do." "Well, I'm a Baptist." Well, okay. Maybe if you sit in the garage long enough, you'll become a vehicle. "Well, I was raised in church. I've always been a Christian." No, you hadn't always been a Christian. "Oh, I can't remember a time I ever wasn't a Christian." Well, you probably need to get saved. You say, "Well, I've just been raised in a Christian home. Surely I'm going to heaven." Not if you've never accepted Jesus Christ in your heart, you ain't. We got to get out of all of this, you know, lovey-dovey, Joel Osteen, kiss your neighbor and mow everybody's yard and... But look, if you want a good motivational speaker, hey, listen to him. He'll make you feel all warm and fuzzy. But look, if you want to know how to go to heaven and keep from going to hell, you're going to have to listen to somebody that'll preach on it and ain't scared to preach on it. And if you want to know how to get to heaven, trust Jesus Christ. If you want to go to hell, anything else will do. Well, hallelujah. You got the cause of the salvation plan. You got the cost. You got the condition. And then, number four, you got the consequences. What are the consequences? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish." Now, I know we've got friends. I love them. I love our friends. And they say, "Boy, you can be saved today. And boy, you can go mess up tonight. And boy, you'll be lost by in the morning. And you're saved. And then, boy, they're lost." And they don't never know if they're saved. "Are you saved?" "Well, I don't know. I hope so." "Are you saved?" "Maybe so." "Are you saved?" "I'm trying to be." Now, think about this. You know when you was born, don't you? Walk up to somebody. "Was you ever born?" "Well, I think so." "I'm trying to be." "I'm working at it." What about this one? How many of y'all know you're married? You know you're married? "Are you married?" "Well, I think so." Are you married? I'm trying to be. I heard a fellow say one time, I said, man, are you married? He said, I'm afraid so. Anything else that sounds silly. But when you ask a person, do you know for sure, 100%, if you died right now and you never took another breath, that you would be ushered in the presence of God? Well, I think so. You ought to know so. Because the easiest verse in the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That means, guess what? Guess what? Look it to me. Look right here in these eyeballs. I'm not going to hell. I was wanting a little more response than that. And if you're saved, you are not going. Now try to stay in your seat. You are not going to hell. You're not going. And it says, never perish. What does never perish? What's never perish mean? Never perish. You don't have to go to the Greek or the Hebrew or anything else or the Latin. Listen, never perish means never perish. That means I'm in like Flint. That means I'm going heaven bound with the hammer down. Say, well, what if you mess up? Okay, what if I do? Y'all are looking at me going, yeah. What if you do? Listen, the Bible is easy. People try to make it hard. It's very easy. I was born into my mom and dad's family. I'm a Ballinger. They do that. The test, they prick your finger, lift the blood, and all that blood always runs back to my daddy. I can't get away from that. I can't. I was growing up, and man, I disobeyed. Y'all won't believe this. Y'all won't believe this, but I disobeyed my dad growing up. One time I remember, he hates all this stuff. But anyway, I remember, he said, boy, don't be throwing that tennis ball. You didn't have nobody to play with, so you get a tennis ball and you throw it up against the brick wall and it come back to you. He said, boy, stop doing that because you're going to mess up and overthrow and you fix to hit the bathroom window. So I go outside. I'm playing 10, 15 minutes. Well, guess what? I got my little strike zone painted on the side of the brick wall. And I'm really fixing to put her in there. And it heads for the bathroom window. Well, guess who's in the bathroom? Woo! Son! I take off running. Because that's what Adam and Eve did. You get in trouble, they hid themselves, you see. I took off running, and I'm telling you, man, listen. Now, this is what my daddy did. He called me in. This is what he did. He said, all right, son, you disobeyed me. Get out of our family. We're taking all your blood out of your veins. And you got to put somebody else's blood in your veins. Get out of here. Get your bags. Let's, forget the bags. We bought the bags. Just leave. Bye. Is that what he did? Well, why do you think God does that? Why do you think, if your daddy didn't do it, why do you, everybody blame God? Oh, he'll kick you out of the family, you mess up. I'm not advocating messing up. Hey, some of us have messed up, and guess what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Yeah. So God, that's what he does. He'll chastise us and try to get us back. He goes because he loves us. We're no longer a sinner. We are a child of God, a son. That's how he deals with us. Well, you got the cause, you got the cost, you got the condition, you got the consequences. Everlasting life. Jesus was lifted up on the cross. Then he was lifted up out of the tomb. He was lifted up out of the tomb. And then he was lifted up to the right hand of God the Father. You say, why did he do all of that? Because he wanted to lift me out of the mire. He picked me up out of a horrible pit, set my feet on a solid rock, established my goings, put a new song into my heart, even praise unto our God. Amen. He lifted me up. Of course, one day he's going to lift me up even further, and we're going to be with the Lord. They asked Billy Graham. Billy Graham, he was on a French television show. And one of the commentators says, Dr. Graham, we only have 2 minutes left in this program. 2 minutes. And I want you to preach to us in 2 minutes. And Billy Graham looked and said, there's no way. I can't tell you in 2 minutes. I preach a sermon in 2 minutes. But this is what I can tell you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Went all over the French television show there. Ladies and gentlemen, God did love the world, and he loved the world at one spot, and that was the spot right there. That was the spot right there. God did so love the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Valentine's Day. Hey, got a Valentine card, whatever. And for, look, let me just give you my opinion on these holidays anyway. I'm a rebel at heart. My dad's shaking his head. They have all these holidays to make you go buy something. Well, I don't do it just because I don't want nobody telling me. I want to do it because I want to and not because somebody told me I had to because it's Valentine's Day. Did you get me a St. Patrick Day card? No. Anyway, I don't know where that comes from, but in the city of Chicago, one cold, dark night, a blizzard was setting in. A little homeless boy walking up down the streets trying to find a place to get in out of the cold. A little boy was shivering. He walked up to a policeman. He said, "Mister, you wouldn't happen to know where a poor boy find a warm place to sleep tonight, would you?" He said, "Son, I noticed you've been sleeping in that box around the corner. If you'll go up the hill there, that house right up on top of that hill, if you'll just go up to that house and knock on the door, there's a lady that'll come to the door. You know, all you got to do is tell her this, John 3:16. He said, "Son," he said, "Mister, I don't know anything about John 3. He said, "Son, just go up there and knock on the door. When she comes to the door, you just say John 3:16. The little boy took off up the path and walked up the driveway, knocked on the door. Big white house there, he knocked on the door. Lady come to the door and he said, John 3:16. The lady said, "Well, son, come on in here. I got a fireplace going." And he sat down in a little rocking chair. She gave him a little quilt to cover his legs up. He's sitting there still shivering, but he's warming himself by that fire. He said, John 3:16. "I don't know much about it, but it sure makes a cold boy warm." She come in there. She said, "Son, when's the last time you eat?" Said, "Ma'am, I hadn't eaten a long time. Would you like something to eat?" He said, "I sure would." Well, she had a spread. I'm talking about a spread where the saints of God are fed. That boy come up to that table, and I'm talking about fried chicken on both hands, a leg in both hands, mashed potatoes and gravy. This is helping y'all, ain't it? Right here at lunchtime. I'm talking about a chocolate pie with 2 inches of calf slobber, 2 inches deep on it. I'm not talking about instant. I'm talking about homemade. Hallelujah. And son, he sat there and ate and ate and ate. And he ate till he couldn't eat no more. He sat back in his chair and he said, John 3:16. "I don't know much about it, but it sure does make a hungry boy full." She said, "Boy, you smell like you need a bath. I got a hot, soapy tub of water running up there and upstairs right beside your bedroom. You go up there, you get in that tub. He walked up them steps. He looked in that bathroom, one of them big garden tubs. About three people could get in. Little bitty boy. Son, them suds are going everywhere. He got out in that tub. He ain't seen too many bars of soap. He looked at bar of soap. Boy, he started washing, getting clean. Sat back in that bathtub. He said, John 3:16. I don't know much about it, but it sure does make a dirty boy clean. He got out. She had him some pajamas laid out. He put them pajamas on. He walked into the bedroom. The covers were turned down. Big, soft, fluffy pillows there. That woman helped that little boy up in that high bed, put him in there, put them covers, tucked it. Y'all remember, girl, tucked it around you so you could. It put another quilt on top of it and you couldn't move. You try to roll over, you're like. Tucked him in. He laid there and he said, John 3:16. I don't know much about it, but it sure does give rest to a weary soul. Woke up the next morning, went to breakfast. The lady said, son, what do you know about John 3:16? He said, ma'am, I don't know nothing about it. The only thing I know is what the policeman told me, said, run up here and say John 3:16. That's all I knew to do. I don't know anything about it. She proceeded to tell him what John 3:16 said. Not only what it said, but what it meant. Little tears come down that boy's face. He's sitting there at the kitchen table, bowed his head, asked Jesus Christ to come in his heart and save him. He leaned back in that same chair. He said, John 3:16. It sure makes a lost boy saved. And that's the same thing it'll do for you. It'll make a dirty boy clean. It'll make a hungry heart full. It'll give rest and comfort in the time of need. It'll make you warm when you're cold. John 3:16. You ever been there? Do you know what it means? Has it ever took root in your heart? If it hasn't, you can do it today and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and walk out of this place different than when you walked in. Let's stand all over the building. Would you come? If you need to come, pray. How about it? As people are coming, John 3:16.